I truly wanted to start just asking you in 2 minutes to sum up what you believe were the three most important things that came out of your discussions with the industry leaders today.
Duncan, you know, I think the greatest achievement we've actually had in this dialogue today is the fact that we were able to get the enthusiastic commitment of the industry leaders into this development partnership that we are seeking with the private sector. And the fact that 8 of the leading industry leaders have agreed and consented to be part of a working group to focus on job creation programs and to take the recommendations from this forum on building the vision for the sector up to the year 2020 is an important achievement. And they've all impressed upon us the need to be very practical about what we want to do, to have some key projects that would have high impact and to be able to do it. And I think that that's a great achievement. The fact that virtually every single commentator from all the tables endorsed the idea of this developmental partnership and have expressed their intention to work and to participate in the working groups that the working panel may constitute, I think is a very positive achievement. I mean, we've had them here for a whole day, very busy company executives prepared to leave their companies to have this dialogue with the minister. I thought it was extremely positive. So I'm happy, and I'm happy for the fact that in our estimates that if we take the high road in the ICT sector, by the year 2020, we're talking about a revenue pot of about 250 billion rands. That's a sizable amount of money, and it means it's a sizable opportunity. And I was also keen to impress upon the people who attended that I would like to encourage South African companies to sort of expand their horizons beyond South Africa, and that they should look at markets which are beyond South Africa, because we have the truly potential of taking very good competitive companies in South Africa and making them African brands. And through that route, potentially making them global brands.
Right.
Because you have the African market, you have China with special privileges in the partnership with the Chinese, you have India, again, principal relationship with India, and you have the BRICS countries. So you have the whole Latin American countries. These are preferred markets. They have special relationship to South Africa. And there's no need why we can't go into those markets with our ICT companies. But they've got to think competitively, they've got to think big, and I think the way to go is to drive them into developing brands.
Okay.
So I'm positive about it.
Now, you spent quite a bit of time, obviously, talking about rural broadband and taking broadband and communications technology to the so-called bottom two-thirds of the pyramid, you know, getting connectivity out into rural areas and into areas that are underserviced. But the operators haven't targeted those areas in the past, historically, because of a perception that it can't be done affordably. Mm. How do you actually overcome that challenge, the fact that the commonly held belief is that you can't profitably service rural areas with broadband technology? Does the government have to subsidize it?
Well, I think this is the kind of issue that we want to dialogue with. We don't know the answer to that. But certainly government will have to come in as a significant player. And you know, government has got a policy consideration. We'd like to make sure that we bring connectivity to those rural areas. And the task and challenge before us is how do we do it? And we don't think that government can do it on its own. So it has to be a collaboration with both the private sector and the public sector working hand in glove. So we have this discussion going between Broadband Infoco and Zentech. You know, there's a whole range of private players. But in a sense, what I was trying to intimate in the conversation, that this challenge should not be disconnected to the issue of unbundling of the local network. Now, on that process, the regulator says he's on track, that we'll meet the November deadline. But he's also saying to us, what the department is raising is that we should look very carefully at the model by which this unbundling can take place. Because you don't want a situation to exacerbate itself where you unbundle in the lucrative areas. And so everybody then says, because of the point that you raised, that they'd rather go into the metros and won't pay any attention. So it doesn't serve the developmental outcomes that we want. So we may want to look at the model of unbundling and develop a unique model that allows for something that may progress in phases and in stages, so that if companies want to take advantage of the unbundling, they may have to then really seriously look at the rural areas. Mm.
Now, you mentioned Broadband Infraco and Centec. Does government have a plan to merge those two organisations down the line?
Not yet, no. We don't have the discussion.
Is a merger being discussed? Or?
Another merger is being discussed. Let's say better levels of cooperation are being discussed.
Mm. Yes. Okay. Now, I want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about telecom. There are obviously a lot of issues at telecom at the moment with, a new CEO coming on board soon, a new chairman recently appointed. Now, you spoke in the press conference about balancing the interests of ordinary shareholders and government. Now, this is obviously a JSE-listed company, and the responsibility of the directors is to maximize profits in the interests of shareholders. Can you balance the often conflicting requirements of those shareholders who want to maximize profits and therefore maximize dividends that are paid to them, and also maximize government's priorities in terms of building infrastructure into areas which are not necessarily profitable?
Well, we don't think that those are necessarily conflicting imperatives. But it's the developmental challenge for an entity like Telkom, in that you have a major shareholder, which is government. And government's interest in Telkom is to ensure that it remains a vehicle to pursue its policy development objectives. That's why we'll retain our interest in Telkom. But at the same time, we are mindful of the fact that there are other shareholders that would like to see the company operating strictly on what may be called commercial terms. Mm. But put that together as a whole, we support the principle that the company must operate as a commercial entity that must increase the rate of return on its investments for all shareholders. Now, in the case of the private and institutional shareholder in Telkom, they may measure that rate of return on the basis of what they get as a dividend. In the case of government as a shareholder, we measure that return to the extent to which Telkom helps us eradicate some of these contradictions we're talking about developmentally. For example, we think Telkom can seriously play a better role in bringing rural connectivity to our people. We think Telkom can play a far more dynamic role on increasing broadband penetration in the country. And that's what we want our directors to take into that company and to accelerate. Mm.
Okay.
So, we're very clear that they are going there with a mandate.
Yes. Does this government regret having partially privatised Telkom? If you were to go back to 1996 or 1997 when this process happened, would you do it again?
We've never had a discussion in which we evaluated whether we regret it or not. We're just taking it for a fact that that's what we have right now.
Yeah.
We've got some clever ideas on what we want to do with the shareholdings that we have. And all I can say is watch the space.
Is buying out the private shareholders and delisting Telkom from the JSE an option?
No, we have nothing like that in our mind.
So status quo will continue, but trying to find ways of...
But we have some formula that we're looking at right now.
Yes.
That might surprise you.
Oh, yes? Can you elaborate on that?
No, I can't.
All right, let's leave it there. Minister Padiachi, thank you very much.
Thanks.